Let me tell you a story, or at least how I imagine the story might have started. It was a strange night for Joseph. He had been working so hard in his carpenter shop because he wanted to create something beautiful for his fiancée, Mary. He was excited to get married and to share his life with her. But then people began coming to him with rumors. The busybody down the street said she'd heard Mary was pregnant, but was trying to hide it. The neighbor said she must have cheated on him. When he confronted Mary, she told him she was indeed pregnant, but the baby was from the Holy Spirit, not another man. Joseph understandably felt shocked, betrayed, and maybe more than a little skeptical. Yeah, right, the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting excuse. Joseph went to bed that night feeling troubled. He was a devout man and followed the Jewish law carefully in his everyday life. And in this case, the law was pretty clear. Engagement was a binding agreement. The world already treated Joseph and Mary as husband and wife. If she had been unfaithful to him, she should be put to death. But Joseph had compassion for Mary, even though he likely felt betrayed. Before he fell asleep, he made a decision. He wouldn't turn her in to the Jewish authorities to be killed. Instead, he would divorce her quietly and send her to go spend time with faraway relatives until this baby, born of the Holy Spirit, was actually born. That night, an angel visited Joseph in his dreams. The angel started off by saying, "Do not be afraid." Angels in the New Testament always seem to start with this phrase, and it didn't really do a lot to reduce people's fear. This angel went on to share some shocking news with Joseph. Mary was, in fact, pregnant with a baby that was from the Holy Spirit, not another man. And the angel instructed Joseph to go ahead and marry her and name the baby Jesus when he arrived. I can imagine Joseph startled awake after this dream, sat up in bed and rubbed his eyes as he tried to make sense of what had just happened to him. Dreams are strange experiences. We've all had them, whether we remember them vividly or can't recall anything when we wake up. Some dreams may be comforting, like dreaming you're with a loved one who has died. Other dreams can be confusing or downright scary. A few weeks ago, James startled awake after a dream where he was driving a car on an island in the clouds with me in the passenger seat. He accidentally started backing up, backed off the edge of the island, and awoke as we were falling. I told you, dreams are strange. When he told me about this dream, the first thing I said was, "Thank goodness it was just a dream." I remembered that comment when I was reading about Joseph and Joseph's dreams this week. I wonder if Joseph also woke up and wondered if what he had dreamed was real. This story of Joseph's dream and the visit from the angel appears only in the book in this book of the Bible, and Matthew doesn't give us a whole lot of details. In Matthew's story, Joseph didn't actually say anything, but by following God's instructions delivered by the angel, he nevertheless answered God's call with a clear yes. Do not be afraid. I wonder how many times Joseph remembered that first instruction from the angel in the months to come. It's not hard to imagine that Mary's pregnancy was a difficult time for them both, that people around them were whispering and gossiping, wondering why Joseph would marry her when she was carrying someone else's baby. And yet he married Mary. He did not consummate the marriage until after the baby was born, and when the baby arrived, he named him Jesus. That last step, naming the baby Jesus, was an important one. Remember last time when I talked about Zechariah, I mentioned that at the time Jesus was born, it was custom for Jewish men to name babies, especially boys. And naming was a special rite and ceremony for Jewish babies. When Joseph named Mary's baby Jesus, he was stepping up as the child's earthly father taking him into his family and making Jesus a descendant of David, as Joseph was. The name Jesus itself also carried multiple symbolic meanings. Jesus was a common first name for males at that time. Josephus, a first century historian who documented a lot of historical events around the time of Jesus, reported at least 20 different men named Jesus in his writings. Giving the baby such a common name emphasized his humanity. Naming the child Jesus also connected him back to Moses. The Hebrew equivalent of Jesus was Yeshua, or in English, Joshua. The name Yeshua means God saves. Jesus, like the Old Testament Joshua, was being identified as the successor to Moses, one who was to inherit and fulfill the role of saving God's people that Moses began. Joseph answered God's call with a clear yes. Do not be afraid. I wonder if Joseph had any idea how difficult and dangerous saying yes to God would be. After the baby was born and named, there was a day when an intrepid group of astrologers from far away arrived at their house with gifts for Jesus and a wild story about following a star a long distance. And not long afterward, another angel appeared in Joseph's dreams. Not again, I can imagine him grumbling. This angel warned him that the baby was in danger and told Joseph to flee from Bethlehem. Joseph took Mary and the baby to Egypt, and because they fled, they avoided what we call the slaughter of the innocents. King Herod, trying to get rid of this baby that he feared would take over his power, ordered all male children under age 2 in Bethlehem to be killed. Even after Joseph and his little family returned from Egypt after King Herod died, they made their new home among the Gentiles in Galilee because Bethlehem seemed too risky. Joseph's yes came with danger, and yet he did not hesitate to follow God. Do not be afraid. Do you know someone, or maybe you are the someone, who says no to anything new or different automatically? That no response often comes from fear, and fear can be a powerful feeling. It can overwhelm us. It can paralyze us. It can lead us to question, to doubt, to catastrophize, and to try to keep things exactly the way we feel most comfortable. How often do we do things or choose not to do things because of fear? I see it in myself sometimes, in my family and friends sometimes, and in my college students sometimes. And yes, I've seen it in churches too. In one of my previous churches, I won't mention which one, I once brought up the idea of doing a study to see if the church would be a good site for a child care center. Almost immediately, three people in the meeting said, "We tried that once and it didn't work," and shut down the discussion. For weeks, I tried to find out more about this previous child care venture. I asked people who had been members for decades. I scoured old newsletters and board meeting minutes. I finally found a woman who remembered the project, and what I learned was they had actually set up a child care center once, 30 years earlier, for 16 babies of teen mothers, for about 8 weeks. And it didn't work because the teens lived and went to school too far away for the church to be a convenient place to bring their children. But when I even mentioned the idea many years later, the immediate response was an instinctive and emotional no, coming from a fear of repeating past experiences. Fear can be powerful. And yet, Joseph himself modeled for us how to move through no to get to yes, through fear to get to action. Joseph had planned to break the engagement with Mary until the angel appeared, told him not to be afraid, and gave him a new path to follow. I don't necessarily believe that hearing "do not be afraid" was enough to completely remove Joseph's fears and anxieties, but he moved forward through the fear to a place where he said yes to God's plans. Yes, to marrying the woman he loved. Yes, to becoming a father of this miraculous child. So many people in our world have pushed through fear to do important things. 6-year-old Ruby Bridges must have been afraid when 4 federal marshals escorted her into an all-white elementary school as the first Black student. And yet she went on to graduate from a desegregated high school and to create a foundation to promote tolerance in education. King George VI, who took over Britain's throne near the start of World War II, overcame a lifelong stutter and the fear of public speaking that went with it to give regular radio addresses to his people during the war. John Lewis, Georgia's U.S. representative who died in 2020, famously taught us to make some noise and get in good trouble. It's not hard to imagine that he felt fear, especially during events like the infamous Bloody Sunday of 1965. And yet he marched and gave speeches and pushed for voting rights legislation throughout his life. But not all yeses come from famous people. You don't have to be a king or a civil rights leader or a Judean carpenter to say yes to God's plans. We're gathered this morning in a building that came from the collective yes of the people who made up Lawrenceville First Christian Church in the 1990s. This congregation, which included many of you gathered here today, took a leap of faith and moved out of the familiar stone church in downtown Lawrenceville. You bought land in a less developed area of Gwinnett County, built a new building, and moved in 25 years ago this week. I'm sure there were some no reactions when the idea was first discussed. And more than one of you probably felt some fear and anxiety at such a big change. But you said yes, and you moved forward. And this building has served the church well for those 25 years. It now supports weekly worship for not one, but 3 different churches. Our church, plus the Moriah Church on Saturdays, and Story Forest Christian Church on Sunday afternoons. There have been countless weddings and funerals and memorial services and baptisms and church dinners and anniversary celebrations and blood drives and so much more in this building. During this season of Advent, when we wait for the child that God promised to marry, the child that the angel told Joseph to name Jesus, many of us may be feeling some fear and anxiety about our individual lives, our families, our church, our nation, our world. And yet we move through Advent knowing that God is calling us to do new things in this corner of Gwinnett County. So today, as we remember Joseph's yes, we also celebrate this congregation's yes more than 25 years ago. Let us give thanks for all that has happened here in the past 25 years. And as we do, let's look forward to the next 25 years of ministry in this part of Gwinnett County that now holds so many opportunities for us to engage with the community in shared ministry. Let us continue to say yes to all that God has in store for us. Amen. So this morning, as we celebrate our first 25 years in this building, 2 members of our community are going to share some reflections. The first is Hoyt Huff, our beloved retired minister, who was the minister when the building was built and opened. The second is Elizabeth McLennan, who was the board chair during the time the building was built and opened. After they share their memories, we will join in a short litany to celebrate and rededicate the building. The litany is adapted from the litany that was shared when the building was first dedicated. Hoyt, would you please come forward and share with us?
The first thing I have to say is I made a mistake. Now, I know that's difficult for some of you to realize over the years, but I relied upon my memory of the dates, thinking that it was the second Sunday in December that was our first Sunday in the building. Now, Kim Peoples did the right thing. She looked back on some of the history and found the bulletins And it's really December 21st, 1997, that we had our first worship service in this building. That was the fourth Sunday of Advent, and that Sunday, the choir presented their cantata. And I didn't even get to preach that first Sunday in the sanctuary. Now, just a quick bit of history. The mid-1980s, the Rock Church on Perry Street was landlocked with different buildings and facilities around us. We had a rock building that you really couldn't expand. It's difficult to build onto rock. We did build an educational building in back of it there. But we began thinking about, someone mentioned the fact that maybe we need to relocate. And of course, as Diane was saying, that was not too exciting to begin with. But finally in 1989, we bought these 5 acres here on Houston Road in those days. There was no Sugarloaf Parkway at that time. The property was paid off in the early 1990s, and so from renewed capital fund drives, we began to accumulate money for the new building, which became Sugarloaf Parkway. We were told not to build until we sold our building on Perry Street, which I think, hindsight was probably a mistake, but here we are. We selected during that time of waiting the architect, and we had blueprints made so that we would be ready when the building sold and we could begin to build. We waited for the building to sell. The 1996 Olympics began to near, and building costs began to soar, and so we waited a little bit more. And finally, in July 1996, we sold the Perry Street building to First Chinese Baptist Church of Atlanta. And we began that wilderness journey at the theater at Central Gwinnett High School. Now, theater seats are nice for watching stage performances, but for sitting and getting up and down during a worship service, they're not very comfortable, are they? They are low down, and for some of us, it was difficult to get up from that low position, but we made it. Finally, the building being sold, we revised our blueprints and changed a little bit, and we began building. The groundbreaking ceremony was on March 30th, 1997, which was Easter Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock up front here somewhere. The building was not totally completed, but we were able to get the occupancy permits. And so the fourth Sunday of Advent, December 21st, 1997, we had our first worship service at 3495 Sugarloaf Parkway, which was then something Houston Road. There were empty lots all around us. There was not much of anything. The schools and houses on the backs of some of these lots were all that were here. There were no stained glass windows in the sides. Those were clear glass. The rose window up front was there. Fourth Sunday of Advent, the choir shared their cantata. December 17th, 1997, those hymnals that we sang from a few moments ago were delivered. And March 15th, 1998, we dedicated this building. Now we are completing 25 years today. And I challenge Diane's beginning the next 25 years is what came to mind, but I think we're beginning the next 100 years, but we can talk about that and work on that together. A history, very brief, because they gave me 2 minutes. I didn't tell you that to begin with, because I knew it would probably be more, so.
Well, I'm going to use my 2 minutes to try to tell you how excited we were as a congregation. We watched the building, we drove out here all the time
Everybody did, coming at different times of the day. It was a dirt road, you know, there was no place to park. I am so sure that the site manager got tired of watching us come out here to gawk. But we loved our rock church on Perry Street, and we shed tears the night that we left there. But this was an adventure that none of us had ever had any part in or anything like, and we all wanted to see it as it happened, and we kept a close watch on it. I'm going to tell you about the steeple as part of my story today. This week, Kim told me that her father, W.O. Thompson, had noted that originally the company from Texas that manufactured the steeple sent the wrong steeple, and it had to be turned around and sent back. I probably knew that at the time, but it surprised me this week when I found out about it again. But that second time that the steeple was due, I made plans on my lunch hour. I worked in Lawrenceville, and so I drove out here, and the steeple was removed from the truck already. It was being lifted up, so I got to see the steeple being set. But it wasn't an easy, it wasn't a quick thing, so I had to go back to work. But that night, both of my kids, Matthew and Meredith, were students at Georgia Tech, but they were home for some reason. I don't know why. But anyway, we all went over to Captain D's in Lawrenceville, ate supper, excited to know that we were going to go see the steeple. So we headed down Five Forks Trickum Road toward the church. As soon as we turned right, we could see lights in the sky. Now, Hoyt's told you, there wasn't anything here except the house at the back, which wasn't in use except as our church office, you know. And the Mormon church was on the corner, and then it was just houses. So the lights really showed up bright. So as we turned into the church drive, all of us were just speechless. The steeple was lit. It was shining up into the stars. We were all just kind of struck dumb for a minute and couldn't say anything by all of the magnificence that lay before us. Finally, my daughter Meredith spoke up and said, "I can't believe this is going to be our church." And you know what? I still feel that way today, 25 years later. Thank you.
So as we celebrate this building and rededicate it for use in the next 25, 50, 100, 150 years, will you join me for a litany of dedication? At the end of each statement that I share, would you please read together the response that is going to be on the screen in just a second, I hope.
It's there.
Oh, it's there. Okay, fantastic. All right. Today we celebrate 25 years in this building at 3495 Sugarloaf Parkway. We are thankful that God put it into the hearts of people to build this house to the glory of God and to see it through to completion. We celebrate this building in the Spirit of Christ and rededicate it for our continuing ministry. We give thanks for the many forms of ministry that have happened here and for the many people who have gathered here to worship and learn and pray and share. We celebrate this building in the Spirit of Christ and rededicate it for our continuing ministry. We reaffirm that this building is God's house for the worship of God, the preaching of the gospel, the celebration of baptism, and the Lord's Supper, and we rededicate it as a place of worship. We also rededicate it as a place of fellowship, outreach, learning, music, and community. We celebrate this building in the Spirit of Christ and rededicate it for our continuing ministry. We look forward to the next 25 years and beyond, and we recommit ourselves to make this building a place to praise God and to prepare people to go out and share the good news in our community and in our world. We celebrate this building in the Spirit of Christ and rededicate it for our continuing ministry.
So when I first became the minister here, I asked a lot of questions. And one of the questions I asked was for the history of the building. And the most fascinating thing I learned was that the space that we are now in was meant, after a while, to be the fellowship hall. And that the sanctuary would be beyond this wall. That one day there would be such growth, excuse me, and such expansion that there would be a new sanctuary built. And for 25 years, many people before me have worked and struggled, given their time, their money, their person power towards where we are. And I am privileged to be the minister right now for this 25th anniversary. And I'm going to leave us with a thought and a charge. Now, this is there, this is here. I've got all these in my office of what this was going to look like. Okay, and you can't see it from there because it's kind of old, but it's still beautiful. And I'm gonna hang it out next to all the other wonderful rendering and items there. What I want us to do is to think. To think about your role in getting this building from 25 to 50. Some of us may not be here. Some of us who think they may not be here may be here. We don't know. But God has called us, all of us, under this steeple. God has allowed this to be our church home. And we are merely stewards for the next group of people, for the next children that grow up here, for the next people in the community who will need outreach and who will need to find out that if they didn't go into the Lifeline screening, that they would be dead in 6 months. That's the work that's gone on in this church. The blood that's been taken from here have gone to help people who were bleeding out, who needed surgery. That's been done here. Lives have been changed in here. People who have gotten sober in here. And that's because of your work, your vision, your planning, your tithes, your offerings, your incredible intelligence in choosing wonderful ministers and other things that you have done. But now the baton has been passed from 0 to 25. Who's going to take the baton from 25 to 50? And you may not be here for that next 25 years, but the decisions you make now, the money that you give now, the tithes, the offerings that you dispense now, go to that vision for 50. So please know that God has placed you here to be able to get us to that next place. And I'll say this before we pray. In my job, my day job, I close one church a month. I do. And it is a result of mismanagement, hyper-traditionalism, an unwillingness to compromise, an unwillingness to work. And I watch every day as the legacy of people and their hard work gets handed over to me in the form of keys. And they say, take our building. The latter is also a reality, not for us, but in life. So know and celebrate the fact that you're still here and that we have, I've said this since I got here, we have everything that we need to flourish in here. So believe that. Believe that you play a wonderful, pivotal, special role in getting us from 25 to 50. So the next lives that are saved, the next children that are blessed, the next churches that can praise and worship will be allowed to do that because you said yes to God and you said yes to the work of this church. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, in this Advent season, we are thankful for vision, for the vision that you placed in the hearts of men and women and people and children, visions of grandeur, visions of success, visions beyond our wildest dreams. And Lord, we thank you right now for the vision that you gave so many people so many years ago, that one day an Ebenezer, a house of God, would be raised in this section of Lawrenceville, that a steeple would be raised, and that thousands who go back and forth will be able to see the cross and know that salvation is possible on this property. So for the meetings, the endless board meetings, for the visioning, for the planning, we give you thanks. For those who gave of their time, their effort, for those who supervised the construction, we give you thanks. For the people who piled in communion tables and trays and music to Central Gwinnett High School every week, we give you thanks. For the children who learned and who were blessed and changed and who grew up to now be the stewards and shepherds of this building, we give you thanks. For the families who are not here with us but laid down a brick in the name of this place and its flourishing, we give you thanks. For the people whose lives were saved, who saw a new day, a new life that was possible beyond the bottle or beyond the drugs. For those people who found out about terminal illnesses and conditions, for those who were saved from the blood donations that have been here. For the families that move from homelessness to stability through family promise, we give you thanks. And Lord, for us now under the steeple, ministers, musicians, singers, teachers, members, charge us to carry this church forward. Help us to hear from you. Help us to be discerning. Help us to be selfless. Help us to be generous, just like as the standard bearers before us, so that a new group, a new generation of people can be saved, a new generation of people can be blessed, a new generation of people can be introduced to Christ and the beauty of a community that cares for them. We thank you for 25 years, and we praise you in advance for 25 more. Lord, we pray that this place flourishes beyond our time here. But Lord, remind us that it's our decisions, it's our selflessness and our willingness and our generosity that allows that to be. So Lord, we rededicate this building back to you. We rededicate our service back to you and to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.